Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Quinn Cummings Gives Bad Advice. Before we start today, I wanted to ask you to listen all the way through the closing music because we have a surprise announcement. I'll give you a hint. It's all about our new online shop where you can get cups and t-shirts and all sorts of cool stuff with our Bad Advice fork and a toaster logo. They're so cute. So it's not really a surprise because, you know, I just told you. Anyway, let's cue that groovy music. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Quinn Cummings Gives Bad Advice, the podcast where I, Quinn Cummings, give advice to people I do not know. If you're joining us for the first time, you may be asking yourself, does Quinn really want to give me bad advice? And the answer is no, I do not want to give you bad advice. I want to give you good advice. But I have absolutely no qualification to give you any sort of advice at all. I am not Ohio. I am not Pennsylvania. I am not Florida. I give advice because it amuses me to do so. So you might be asking yourself, will this advice I'm about to give you be good advice? Well, I think the answer is in the title of the podcast. If you want me to give you bad advice, you can leave a question for me at qcbad.com. It's completely anonymous, and better yet, it's completely free, so I can offer up this advice with a 100% money-back guarantee. Now, let's get started. I try not to paraphrase questions, but this one is a little long. I'm completely enchanted by it. But I also want to get in an answer for as many people as I can. This high school senior, a young queer woman, has never had a girlfriend, and in a breakout group in her Zoom high school class, someone flirted with her, a girl, and they talked a little bit. She's never been kissed, and she doesn't know what to do now. She ended her note to me with, "So my dilemma is how not to waste a chance at the thing I've been hoping for, but also not to do anything stupid because I'm making assumptions about why or what she's doing. As a general rule, I hate being stupid, and that hatred increases exponentially the more people witness it. Any advice?" I want you to thank the goddesses for this person. You need to practice flirting and engaging with other girls. But she should also be someone you don't hugely care about so that any mistakes aren't going to keep you company at 3 a.m. for decades to come. Ta-da! Maybe she was bored that morning and it has run its course. Maybe not. Send her a picture of something stupid, something you find funny. See if she responds. If she does, great. That means you have a similar sense of humor, which isn't everything, but it's a whole bunch. If she doesn't, the goddesses just did you another favor by letting you know this was a social drive-by, nothing more. The bad news in 2020 is that nothing in our lives makes sense. The good news is, nothing in our lives makes sense. This doesn't need to have a name or a goal. You'll have a girlfriend when you're supposed to, and not one minute before. In the meanwhile, send her a picture of a cat in a wig and see where it goes. This next one comes from qcbad.com. Subject: passive-aggressive leader pretends I'm invisible. Dear Quinn, a leader at work, not my boss, pretends I don't exist. Emails go unanswered until someone else makes the same request or I start making third and fourth follow-ups. Comments and suggestions in their meetings are met with, via telecon, total silence, and then a pivot to a new topic, unless someone else remarks on what I said, which carries on the convo with someone else this leader can reply to. Before we were working from home, my funny remarks that made the room chuckle were met with an expressionless stone face. I don't want to make a fuss in these grateful for steady job times, but pretending we were all in an office and pandemic-free, would I even want to deal with this in any way? Well, there's something going on, that much is for sure. Maybe this person associates you with someone who screwed them over in the office. Maybe you share a first name in common with someone who beat them up in grade school. Maybe this person enjoys being a weird dick to a random soul. The question is, should you care? You say they have no real power over you, save this office ghosting, which I will freely admit is frustrating and total bullshit. But ultimately, it's some petty office nonsense, and it does not matter. If you saw a dung beetle pushing a ball of dung, would you question its motives? No, because that's what a dung beetle does. This is what this person does. I say, check your history with this person. Make absolutely certain you can't think of a time where you may have insulted them, and then let it go. This one comes from QCBad.com. Subject, addicted, but hard to nail down.
Dear Quinn, my family has a long and not so distinguished history of untreated alcoholism. While I don't have a problem drinking in moderation, maybe once a week because it makes me feel like crap, I feel like my genetic tendencies come out in other ways so my brain can get a hit of whatever brain chemical that is. Sometimes it's eating things I know I shouldn't, or buying things I know I can't really afford but really want, at least in the moment. There is a mental and physical rush to these things that I recognize as being problematic, and they have caused significant problems in the last few years. I feel like some sort of general addiction support group would probably help me, but I'm not sure where to start. What would you recommend?
Ooh, were all questions this easy? You told me in the first sentence that your family of origin is laced with alcoholism. There are meetings dedicated solely to people whose families of origin are laced with alcoholism. They are called Al-Anon. You will go to a website. You will find a meeting. When they ask newcomers if they want to talk, you will talk, even if it's just to say, I don't know if I belong here. You will talk to people after the meeting. You will do the work, which will include listening to other people and realizing you aren't alone. Eventually, you will have the tools and the language to consider tackling your stuff. But for right now, just find the next meeting and attend it. This one comes from QCBad.com. Subject, a private problem.
Dear Quinn, my friend has sent two emails asking for a donation to her daughter's private school. The first was a standard email. The next, a more guilt-tripping, my daughter takes your support very seriously. Even $5 is good. While I think parents are entitled to send their children to whatever school they choose, I very strongly wish to give to charities for people in need. I feel like I'm being emotionally blackmailed and worry a call is coming next. How do I get out of this without making a donation that goes against my principles?
Just when I think I am reasonably familiar with all the gall the world has to offer, this podcast introduces me to the Mariana Trench of gall. First, let me explain the second email. No private school wants $5. The parents are being encouraged to get as many bodies as they can. There may even be a fun competition of some kind, and yes, I just made air quotes around fun. Once the school has your donation, they have your email, and oh, the endless dribble of emails you will get. Second, you owe her no explanation unless you are prepared to lose the friendship, because saying to her, this is some monumentally tacky bullshit, especially right now, that's hard to laugh off. My late and wonderful friend Gabrielle had a phrase she used when negotiating as a talent agent. She would say, I'm not comfortable with that, and then she would hang up. I suggest you go with that. If she presses, repeat it. Do not give her something new, because that's negotiation fodder. Then, change the subject. If she is still harping on this, avoid her for a while and see if she comes to her senses. If she doesn't, she just told you a whole bunch about herself. And by the way, You're completely right. This one comes from QCBad.com. Subject, dog spouse issues.
Dear Quinn, okay. We have a 6-month-old puppy who is 90% great and predictably bad at key moments, most notably during cooking hour and in the morning. The solution to the morning is to make sure he has his leash on to restrain antics. The solution for dinner is to A, put up the gate so he can't get to the stuff, and or B, push things back on the counter. Guess which things my spouse refuses to do, then gets mad at the dog and at me. I'm a firm believer in an ounce of prevention. Do the thing so you don't want to murder the dog. But if I say, hey, leash him and he will be okay, or hey, shove things back, I'm a nag. Then the inevitable happens and both dog and I get blamed. How do I handle this without stabbing anyone?
I think we're spending entirely too much time together, in general. I think you have to be the adult, which hardly seems fair, seeing as you are right, but that's 2020 for you. Before the next meal, put the dog behind the gate. If your spouse lets the dog out, say without any emotion, if the dog is out, it's going to get chaotic. Notice you are not laying blame on him. The dog is out. Chaos will occur. When the inevitable happens and your spouse blows the inevitable gasket, do what you would do with a child having a tantrum. Absent yourself. Announce you are going to walk the dog so your spouse can clean up the chaos in peace, and then go out before he can try the old routine. Stay out for 10 or 15 minutes. If need be, have a Kind bar in your pocket so you don't come back hungry. When you come back, hand him the dog's leash, do not push anything back on the counter, sit down, and serenely eat your food. If crazy happens again, take the dog, go for a walk again. If you aren't there, he can't expect you to fix it. If he calls you on all these new walks, point out that if the dog is behind the gate, this doesn't happen. This isn't nagging. This is a fact. The previous dynamic worked because it was a two-person scene, and you may not have enjoyed your part, but you played it. I give you permission to stop reading those lines. And not for nothing, the dog is going to love all these new walks. This next one comes from QCBad.com. Subject, need your gift of advice here?
Dear Quinn, in this most bizarre of years, I have been finding solace giving $25 gifts to various causes, food banks, political campaigns, social activism groups, etc. I was thinking this holiday season, in lieu of gifts, I could donate to charities in people's names. No politics, and I would give a list of charities and have the recipient pick out which charity they would like. Is this a good idea? Or is it a version of giving people what you would really like?
I think there has never been a better year for taking care of those around us. I can only speak for myself, but I would be so relieved to hear that money had been given in my name to help children in cages or snow leopards. If it feels like too much of a bloodless and self-absorbed act, which it totally is not, maybe offer them a baked good as well. The grocery stores are currently filled with half-price Halloween candy. Buy a couple of bags, cut up the candy, put it in the freezer. Closer to the holidays, make bar cookies studded with chunks of candy. Or make bread. Or make limoncello. Make something small and delightful and tie a card and a bow on it, indicating that this year, the recipient is helping to make another living being's life slightly less suck. This one is going to be a little bit different because I was asked a very specific question about someone who is dealing with mental and physical health issues and is feeling very much lost right now. And it's a long question. I was going to paraphrase anyway. But I've also gotten a bunch this week that are like, okay, what do I do? I don't know if you've noticed, but I give bad advice. So everything I'm about to give is very bad. But here's what I have. 4 years ago tomorrow, at the day we are recording this, I lay in my bed very still because every time I moved, I felt as if every bit of my skin was on fire. I was so terrified and traumatized at what was coming and how impotent I felt at the unknown. I mean it. I did not move. I lay on my side. I think I blinked every half hour or so, and I had to talk myself into it. By the end of the day, what I decided was I couldn't fix everything. I couldn't even fix anything. But what I could do was make people laugh during dark times. I could keep their spirits up if they happened to be on Twitter. And I just decided that was my job. I deputized myself into that. My goal was to make people feel a little bit better, to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. I think I did it. People have told me I helped. If you are overwhelmed right now, I want you to find a very small thing. All right. Imagine there is a charity near you you believe is doing important work. You can't give them everything, but you can decide that every Monday morning you're going to make sure that they have enough paper clips for the week. I'm making that up. And you decide you are the person who will get them their paper clips. Is that enough? That's what you do. Our life has meaning because we decide to improve a tiny thing, and we take ownership of that. Doesn't have to be big. You can have a guest bathroom and have a foster kitten in it. You can have a single bathroom and have a foster kitten in it. You can bring sealed snacks to people waiting online to vote. All this to say, our life has meaning because we wake up one morning and decide to clean around us and make it a little bit better. That's all we have. Okay, I think that's enough bad advice for today. And remember, I can't give you bad advice if you don't ask for it. Your question doesn't have to be profound, complex, or emotionally demanding. It can be about pretty much anything because, let's face it, I am unqualified to offer advice across a wide range of subject matter. And as we all know, sometimes the nuttiest question gets the best bad advice. You can reach me on Twitter, at QuinCy, that's QUINNCY at twitter.com. Or you can post a question to qcbad.com. Just log into letter Q, letter C, BAD.com, and there's a question form right there. If you want to show people your feelings about bad advice, we now have bad advice merchandise with our fork and a toaster logo at quincummings.com/merch. We do add new products from time to time, so check out the catalog. And let me know what you think. Before I go, I'd like to thank Richard Emmett, who composed my groovy music, and Keith Greenstein, who designed my groovy logo. I also want to thank Phil Rohr and Prime Rib Productions for making it possible for you to hear any of this. Okay, that's enough for now. Keep those questions coming, and I'll see you all next time.